All right, back from MetLife Stadium, where the Commanders improved to 7-2 for the first time since 1996. That was pre-Dan Snyder's ruination of the franchise. We'll see where it goes from here with two games against the Pennsylvania teams in the span of 5 days. Not going to be easy. I mean, if they could split the two, you should take that and run with it. That's kind of how I look at it, but we will see how Jay Gruden looks at that and much more coming up right here, right now. As the former head coach of the Washington Redskins and longtime NFL offensive coordinator, and our pal joins us now, as he does each and every Monday at 3 o'clock on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly. And Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly of Lincoln, Chantilly-Lincoln, I should say, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And Jay joins us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Hello, Jay. How are you?
How are you? Funny thing, I just beat Gardner Britt third in fantasy football this week. So shout out the Britt family and congratulations to me.
How about that? You got a big, that's your first win in a while, Jet. No, I'm just teasing.
Yeah, probably.
Listen, I got hammered in both of my leagues, and I had only one loss in each of the league coming in because I have, for whatever reason, I have a bunch of Packers, and they all did diddly poo yesterday against the Detroit Lions.
Yep, that'll do it.
that'll hurt the cause overall. All right, we'll get to the rest of the NFL in a little bit. But, Jay, hope you're well, of course. And, you know, listen, another win. Commanders 7-2, as we mentioned, first time since 1996, all that stuff. What stood out to you, if I just ask you for, like, one thing that stood out more than the other? Because I've been saying resiliency and, like, a certain mettle that this team and organization hasn't always had, the ability to answer bad things, meaning the Giants went and scored a couple of times, and they answer, boom, right back, punch them in the mouth, and counterpunch them right in the mouth.
You're exactly right. That's the word I was going to use, Chris, to be honest with you. I cannot believe it, because I don't know many three- or four-syllable words. That's one of them. And that's how I would define this team. I mean, this is not an easy place. I don't care. You throw the records out with the Giants and the Commanders game. It's a rivalry. It's a tough place to play. And the Giants were starting to come on, get a little confidence, and lo and behold, Jaden Daniels just stands back there and fights right back, and they protect the ball and get the ball in the end zone or get field goals and then run the clock out. I mean, the pass to OZ on 2nd and 9 in the 4-minute drill was a thing of beauty. And asking Jane to do that, and the protection was perfect. It was just a well-designed play, just a simple sale concept, but execution was flawless. And these guys don't blink. Jade, just watching Jaden on television, because I'm from a distance, I never got to meet the guy, but he does not get phased one iota. Yep. I've never seen anything like it. The poise that he has and the confidence that he plays with is just rubbing off on everybody. And when you see that with your quarterback, everybody plays just that little extra tick harder because they know good things are going to happen.
You know, you mentioned the OZ pass, which, you know, of course we highlighted earlier in the day, but you know, it seems like there's, like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 special passes a game. And maybe it's just special because we're not used to as much of it around here. But, you know, Jay, I don't know if you remember it, but he had a 31-yard seed on 2nd and 11 before the second Terry touchdown, as the first half is kind of dwindling right over the linebackers, right in front of the DBs, kind of like right in that sweet spot. He had the Eckler one on, I want to say that was 3rd and 9 for a little screen.
3rd and 9, yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's just 3 or 4, and maybe it's just this way for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, I'm sure, and Patrick Mahomes. It is. But that's the kind of rarefied air now that we're talking about, is it not?
I agree 100%. Yeah, you're right. The one, I think it was Noah Brown across the middle of Tampa 2, and the Mike linebacker was getting depth, and he just, right as soon as he crossed that Mike linebacker, he dropped a seed right to him. Really, and the only place he could throw it was like a little back behind him. And then the one to Austin Eckler was, you know, I broke that down on my little X account. Tyler Biadasz was one-on-one against Dexter Lawrence in a 5-0 situation. He just battled his ass off. And this guy, Jaden Daniels, he just subtly moves to his left. You know, the right guard gets whiffs, and there's pressure coming. He moves to his left and hits Eckler on a little shallow cross, and it's 30-yard gain. And there, ho-hum, just another down. He makes hard plays look routine. That's what he does.
You can see that breakdown at @coach_JayGruden, @coach_JayGruden. Of course, he joins us each and every Monday at 3 o'clock. You can check him out, Underdog Fantasy as well, podcasts, everything in between. So we appreciate Jay doing the good work that he does for us here. All right, so you mentioned Tyler Biadasz there, or as I guess the guys call him, Tyler Badass, just to make it simple on the name. That offensive line did not allow a single sack to the number one pass rushing sack generating team in the NFL and ran for 150 yards without Brian Robinson. What does that tell you big picture besides obviously a good day at the office?
They're very talented, and they really have good run game concepts, and they're sound. You know, I think Anthony Lynn's a run game coordinator, whoever calls it, Cliff, whoever's designing them. They're not overly complicated, but they do a lot. They pin pull, they do the inside zones. They can mash it between the tackles, and they can get outside on a few design quarterback runs. So it's a tough to defend this offense because of the amount of grass you have to contain and the ability for them to pound you right up the gut.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple runs where Jaden just fakes like he's running around the left side, and like three people are looking at him, and there goes Eckler right up the middle, or whoever. I mean, it's just they got the defense. You know, they're just playing with them right now, and there's so many other things they can do. But really, is that
the 11-on-11 ideology, right? Like you hear, you know, since the advent of the running quarterback in RPO and zone read is, well, if we can be 11-on-11 instead of 10-on-11, like even if the quarterback isn't holding onto the ball, the threat of the quarterback holding onto the ball and going around end is just as good as maybe the quarterback holding onto the ball.
Exactly right, and it's huge. I mean, there's only a couple quarterbacks where you're like, holy cow, we got to really contain this guy. Obviously, Josh Allen, Lamar, and then now Jaden's one of them too. And all three of those guys can also hurt you with their throwing, with the way they throw the football. So the combination that they have to hurt you with the run, their legs, and the ability to throw the ball, I mean, it just makes them very difficult to defend, and they're showing it. And plus the fact he doesn't turn the ball over. I think they've turned the ball over three times. With a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, and Brian Robinson's not an old guy either, and Terry McLaurin's only been in the league 3 or 4 years, and they got a bunch of new receivers. So, just a tribute to the coaching, the way they're coaching, the protecting the ball security, and obviously the way they're executing.
Yeah, 3 times in 9 games. Now they've had a bunch of fumbles and they've recovered them, so we should point that out. And maybe that's lucky, maybe that's just being in the right spot, maybe that's just an intuitiveness. Either way, so far 3 turnovers, as you mentioned, in 9 games. So I wanted to ask you this about Terry, because, well, you drafted Terry. As I remember it, he was, and I think we've talked about this, he was considered the best special teams player in the draft. Not considered a high-end receiver. I know, obviously, you guys liked him as more than a special teams player, and it's turned out, oh, by the way, he's a really damn good receiver. So when I was talking to him after the game yesterday, the first touchdown, Jay, and I was curious to see what you thought, on the little quick slant, the sudden slant, after they run like kind of a pick route concept from the slot, and I asked him whether it was the pick or whether it was the suddenness of the route and the way, and he, you know, said, you know, like it was, you know, he indicated it was kind of both, but he said he had learned and studied that Deontay Banks slow played a wide receiver in tight near the end zone and near scoring territory, meaning more corners generally play tough and physical because it's a compressed space, whereas he kind of played off, not off, but where he didn't get his hands on him. Is that what makes Terry, I guess, so special, is that, A, he's a good receiver and he's got speed and route running and all that stuff, but he's also really damn smart.
Yeah, I'd say. And he's really a hell of a guy, and he works his ass off. Yeah, he's got the total package as far as what you want in a player to come into your locker room as far as accountability, speed, toughness, likability, accountability. He's got it all. There's not one bad – if you can find something bad to say about Terry McLaurin, you got problems. He's that type of guy. I mean, he really is, and he's you know, I put out something yesterday that I guess he's a number one receiver, because I remember early in the year he didn't get as many touches, and people were like, is he really a number one?
Right.
Yeah, he's a number one. He's got all the qualities you want. He's very unselfish, and he just wants the team to do well. He's team first guy, but he can also produce individually.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay Gruden is with us. He's brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, as he is each and every Monday here at 3 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app on the BetQL guest hotline. All right, so the defense, one good, one bad. Start with the good. I thought he would eat all game against that left tackle. I know that kid's a third-round pick 2 years ago or whatever, and Joe Shane knows what he's doing, but that kid was overmatched against Highsmith last Monday night in Pittsburgh. I thought they'd be able to have some success, and that's exactly what happened. But, Jay, curious, and I don't know if you picked up on this because I didn't live at MetLife. The whistle blew well before the Commanders actually recovered the football. Now, whether the whistle should have been blown or not is a whole different argument, but the whistle actually blew before they regained possession. Like, I guess from a coaching perspective there, right, like, I don't know if that should have counted, if the whistle actually blew clearly before the Commanders actually recovered the football.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It shouldn't count because these referees got to quit blowing their damn whistle so quick.
Yes.
You know, especially on these controversial plays where the ball pops out. I mean, let's let that thing develop and see what happens, and then we can blow the whistle unless it's clear and obvious to the referee. But once the whistle blows, the play's dead, and that's an unfortunate instance. You can't take that to review or anything. That's it's not a stupid rule. You have to have some kind of parameters. The whistle is the whistle, and that should stop the play. Otherwise, people are going to be playing. It's going to be like a WWE contest. So,
right.
But it's unfortunate for the Giants. Very fortunate for the Commanders.
One question as I look at your video breakdown, but I can't hear it on the pass we were talking about to Eckler. Cosme, the right guard, is totally, not totally turned around, but he's looking back at Jaden, and he then hand signals or something, or he taps Biotis, the center. What do you think's like going on there? Is that just him getting a certain check or a certain call or changing the protection? Can you take me through the, like, your best guess
is? It was an empty formation, so it was clearly five offensive linemen in protection, mm-hmm. but the Giants had five on the line of scrimmage, so that ends up being a 5-0 situation. Everybody's basically one-on-one. So Tyler had the treat of blocking Dexter Lawrence one-on-one in a shade, which is an absolute nightmare, but Cosby's the one that actually got beat. I don't know why he got beat so bad, but he just got, you know, up and under.
Is that because the screen is going to the opposite side, and sometimes you like to suck the defense in?
No, it was a drop back pass. That's the beauty of Jaden. He just drifted. He had two guys right in his face. One guy was unblocked. Damn near, he just drifted to his left and found Eckler on a shallow cross.
Okay.
Safety. The rookie safety, Tyler Newbin, just screwed it all up. He was supposed to cover Austin Eckler. He was trying to disguise coverage and just got lost. But it was a hell of a way to, you know, get a big play.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just such a tough down for Tyler. That's why I called it a steak dinner block. And to block him shaded one-on-one is no easy task.
Yeah. And you're right. As I look back on it, I thought it was a screen live. My bad on that. It's not a screen, as you correctly pointed out. All right, one bad thing from the defense, and then we'll bounce around quickly to the rest of the NFL. They got shredded for 130-plus yards on two consecutive drives, rushing on the ground. Then the Giants were pretty much all pass in the second half because the score was 21-7 because of that second Terry touchdown. Do you think the Commanders would have won this game if, say, the game was closer and the Giants could keep running the way they did on those two drives? Or how do you think it would have ultimately played out?
Well, I think the Commanders did some good things on offense as well. So, I think the Giants came out and they were really a run-first approach. Tyrone Tracy's done a good job, and I think they're a much better run-blocking team than they are a pass-blocking mm-hmm. team right now. Hubbard, the left tackle you talked about already, he struggled with a pass pro. But they got it going a little bit. They still were able to mix it up and hit a couple big plays down the seam for the touchdown there. The last touchdown was a hell of a throw and a good route. Just busted the coverage a little bit. The safety got a little bit too wide off the hash. But overall, you know, the Giants did do some. I mean, they're going to compete. It's an NFC East game. They're going to make some plays. But the resiliency, as you mentioned, of the Commanders' offense and, you know, defense early in the game just wore them out.
Yeah. Let me take you to the end of the game, something we talked about earlier, and something I was trying to figure out with Dable, right? He's got all three timeouts left, and I understand there's a lot of chaos going on in these spots, but he's got all three timeouts left, Jay, and his team takes over. The Commanders take over with 2:48 left and nursing a 27-22 lead, and he doesn't use one of his timeouts north of the two-minute warning. Can you figure that out? Like, why he wouldn't do that?
No, I can't, because the whole goal is to try to get a stop,
right,
and save as much time as you can, because the offense can play fast, get out of bounds, stop the clock. You know, you don't want to take your timeouts with you. But yeah, I don't understand that. You should probably. I always try to use them before the 2-minute warning to get the ball back and let our offense figure it out.
Is that just the general rule, or is that almost like the letter of the law?
Another reason you don't want to use the first two. You want to use them on first and second down, because on third down, the offense might, you know, force a throw. It might be an incompletion. You might save one of your timeouts,
right,
too.
Right.
So there's other reasons why you want to do that. But first, second down, you always wanted to use your timeouts before the 2-minute drill, because you have the 2-minute drill, the 2-minute stoppage, and then you still have one more timeout left, and hopefully you get a stop, get the ball back, and save a timeout.
Yeah, Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, as he is each and every Monday at 3 o'clock right here on the Team 980. All right, so the Saints fired Dennis Allen, which you kind of sense coming, a 7-game losing streak after a 2-0 start. And remember, they were just so electric, and you pointed out they outscored teams 91-29 7 weeks later. He's fired, this, that, you know, injuries. Olave's been in and out, Carr, so on and so forth. The offensive line is a mess. What do you make out of that whole situation down there?
Well, you're exactly right. That's what happened. They start out strong. Of course, they played the Panthers and the Cowboys, and they put up 91 points. I don't think they punted in 2 weeks, and everybody's talking Cliff Kubiak's the greatest offensive coordinator ever. And then they have a couple injuries, and they can't get a yard. So it's just tough. You know, injuries happen, but he was already on the, you know, he's hot seat already coming into the season, and they've got a lot of issues down there. They got a lot of personnel issues. They got injury issues. And when you don't win, you lose 7 straight. Somebody's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to be Dennis.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So Dak Prescott, apparently, according to all the national reporters, is going to be out for a significant period of time with a hamstring injury suffered yesterday. They go at Philly this week. Then they're here, let me see, two weeks from yesterday or whatever it is. Yeah, 3 weeks, I guess, from yesterday. It looks like he's going to miss, you know, again, most of November, maybe even into December. Maybe they shut him down. And at this point, at 3-5, right? I mean, like, I guess your season's lost. I mean, I guess you can get off the mat here if you're the Cowboys. But, like, you got to go at Philly, at Washington in 2 of the next 3 games without Dak Prescott. And it was already bad with Dak.
Yeah, it's a tough situation for those guys. Now, the only hope they get, if they get Lawrence, I don't know how long Lawrence and Micah are out, and obviously Bland the corner. The only hope was if they get those guys back on defense, they could play better defense. But right now, they have nothing to lean on. They have no running game. They don't protect very good. Their defense is atrocious. So I don't know. I'd be surprised if they win another game, quite frankly, even if Dak was playing. Atlanta's up and down the field against them, and most teams are.
Yeah.
We mentioned New Orleans week 2. They had 500 yards of offense.
Right.
So, yeah, they just have a lot of issues. They didn't address the issues on defense in the offseason. They kind of kept everything stagnant. They didn't address the running back position. So, yeah, they kind of get what they deserve.
Yeah, and then Zeke was a disciplinary benching. Apparently he's been late to a bunch of meetings, and he's been kind of bad behind the scenes. So everything is falling apart for the Dallas Cowboys. How about the Lions winning Green Bay? Excuse me, in all that inclement weather, right? People said, oh, they're an indoor team. Oh, they can't, you know, maybe they don't win outside. Maybe they're physical, no, as you know what, and they go out and they just beat anybody that's pretty much put in front of them.
They're actually built to be an outdoor bad weather team.
Right,
they're so strong,
right,
physical, and violent up front that they can hit you a lot of different ways. And the two of the best backs in the league, that offensive line's amazing, good tight ends, and Amon-Ra can do anything he wants in the slot. And Jared Goff right now, he's getting the pre-snap recognition. He's executing at a high level. And they're damn near unstoppable. And defensively, they're holding their own. Aaron Glenn's doing a good job despite losing their best pass rusher. Maybe they'll get one in a trade here today or tomorrow. Who knows? But that's a damn good football team.
Yeah, they were rumored to get Za'Darius Smith, but I don't think that's gone officially yet. And speaking of the trade deadline, I mean, you know, like I mean, obviously, this team, the Commanders, traded Montez and Chase Young last year on the trade deadline day, which was a week earlier. Were you kind of a fan of making a big move or not wanting to rock the boat one way or the other, either dumping off players or acquiring players midway through the year and trying to incorporate them?
We never really got involved in that, and I was always working, and I was never really approached about, hey, we're going to trade a star player. You know, I would never want to let a player go unless I really want them to go. There's some players I would like to get rid of. But yeah,
I wonder who those players are, Jay.
But yeah, this never really happened where we got an opportunity to trade for a marquee guy that could really help. So I would have been up for it, though. Obviously, anytime you get a chance for a player to come in and help you, you'll take it.
Oh, Jay, you still have your fastball. I love it. All right, last thing, and then I'll spring you loose. I appreciate you, as always. So last night, all the analytics amigos people and the number nerds were all screaming about how terrible Joe Flacco was against that Vikings. Anthony Richardson still has a long way to go. He tapped out, this, that, and the other. We talked about that. If people think Anthony Richardson would have fared better than Joe Flacco last night against that Vikings defense on the road in that spot, I what am I missing here? He would have gotten killed.
Yeah, it's tough. I said, I was telling a buddy of mine last night, I go, wow, they're letting Flacco start. Unfortunately, it's against the Vikings on the road with that pass rush, and Brian Flores is going to bring that out.
Yes. And they were starting two rookies on their offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, but you see my point, right?
Like, can I wait a week?
Yeah.
Let Anthony have this week. Let me get one more week.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were the head coach, right, and you had to make that kind of decision, knowing what you were going against, knowing the veteran who's obviously towards the tail end of his career, the rookie who's struggling, all sorts of different things, what do you think you would have done in that spot?
Well, I think you have to play the guy that – with Anthony tapping out last week, I think he probably had to make a decision of some of the throws that he had that were errant and the interceptions and the costly turnovers. I think teams are starting to look at him cross-eyed. Receivers are getting all ticked off, so maybe he felt like to save the locker room, and the locker room was kind of, hey, put in Joe, his experience, let Anthony take a step back. That's probably what happened, but he probably didn't look at the schedule, see Minnesota was the next game until he made that decision. He's like, oh, damn, I'm in trouble.
To me, this wasn't a hard decision. I know it looks bad because Flacco, you know, got abused a little bit, but I'm sorry. Like Anthony Richardson would have never made it through that game. Maybe I'm being too critical, but he would have never made it. Jay, thank you as always. Appreciate you. Good stuff. I'll talk to you next week after the Pittsburgh Steelers are in town at Northwest Stadium against the Washington Commanders. Thank you as always.
All right, Chris, thank you.
All right, there he is, Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters. Ted Britt Chantilly of Lincoln, Chantilly Lincoln, I should say, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at tedbritt.com. Back in a flash with Commanders middle linebacker and the leader of the defense, Bobby Wagner. I caught up with him after the game. We'll do that next on the Team 980. All right, thanks once again to Jay Gruden. Good spot there. Yeah, I don't get that Anthony Richardson. Oh, you know, Mina Kimes is ripping off, and people are lapping it up like a bunch of thirsty, you know, minus 0.35 per drop back. Stop. Enough. Well, what does anybody think Anthony Richardson was going to do against that defense and that guy on the road? Please, give me a break. No chance Anthony Richardson would have played well last night. Zero chance. Zero chance. And if your answer is, well, you just still play the young guy, well, then you're not factoring in that you play for your locker room. You try and win games. Yes, development is something that you want to do. You have to try and win games. You have to. Speaking of winning games, that's what the Commanders did yesterday. It was rough go, stopping the run. Bobby Wagner was kind enough to take some extra time to talk to me one-on-one as he was leaving the locker room, and he explained why they struggled against the run and more in our conversation after the Commanders' 27-22 win. It's yours right here, right now.
Right here with Bobby Wagner. So, you know, obviously, good win. Any win in the division is good. Is that how you guys kind of take all what happened today out of this? That, you know, there's things to fix, but big division win.
Yeah, things to fix, but good division win. Good win coming off a very emotional game last week. I think the biggest thing is just trying to learn how to win. You know, there's going to be all type of wins, but wins are wins. And so you find a way to finish the game, but then you look at yourself, be honest with yourself, and say, like, what can we do to get better? That's what we need to do.
You guys gave up a lot of running yards on those two back-to-back drives early in the first half, but then you came out with a three and out after the offense scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Answering back, especially if you get that double answer, how important is that?
That's really important. I mean, we as a defense got to be better in the run. You know, we're not doing that yet, but we have the guys to do it, and we got to go back to the drawing board and fix what we're doing.
Is there anything that jumped out to you as to why they were having that success? Because obviously they weren't having it through the air on the first half.
No, I mean, I think they came in committed to the run. You know, they had a really good duo back there from running back, and then you add the quarterback into the mix, and you know, I think they ran every single run play the team could run.
Yeah.
They had pullers, they had QB key, they had power, they had screens, they had, you know, so it was clear that the game plan was to run the ball, and they stuck with it, but you know, with our offense, you can't stick with just running the ball because you don't get behind.
Yeah, and they ran, I think, 14 out of 16 plays on that one one drive.
We got a QB power, we got a receiver reverse, we got every run style that we could possibly get, in my opinion.
Right.
So, you know, we just got to make sure we can, you know, convert on those.
Hey, I wanted to ask you just something I didn't get a chance to ask you after last week's game. There was a third down run stop right before the fourth down run stop where your back is kind of turned to the line of scrimmage and you're communicating your ass off to your team.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn around and you make the play. Like, can you just, I don't know if you remember any of that, but I mean, can you just take me through that whole process?
It was cool to me, just watching. We had a couple checks based off of their formation that they were running in. So they started off in one formation, and they changed to another formation. So we started off on one defense, and then we had to change to another. And, you know, third down, it was loud, and we wanted to make sure that everybody was getting the call. And I think Chin might have came down to make sure that we were on the same page. So I turned around and told him to make sure, like, everybody's good. So once everybody got set, I turned around. And as I turned around, the ball was snapped.
Right.
But I knew where the ball was going. So then I took a second, and then I went and got the ball. And then I think the next play we had
the fourth down stop. Yeah, because Joe, I don't know if you heard it or cared, Joe signaled you out, obviously, for great communication this week. And I don't know if he was talking about that specific play, but that one play jumped out. I was like, oh, this is so cool, you know, watching that, you know, over and over again and how you processed all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just one of those things as a middle linebacker, you know, you have to make sure everybody's right.
Yeah.
And that's your job. Your job is to, you know, get everybody lined up first, then you do your job. And so I just wanted to make sure everybody was good.
One last one for you, and then I'll let you go. I appreciate you. A 7-2 start. I mean, when you came here, you were brought here to make plays and be a leader. Could you have imagined this, or?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, once we got into OTA and training camp, you saw how good our team could be. It was just kind of depending on how fast could we learn to win. And, you know, we got a quarterback who's doing a great job. We got a lot of young guys that are buying in. We got older guys that are buying in as well. So, you know, when you have a team that believes, it sets you up in a really good situation.
All right, Bobby Wagner, the leader of the Commanders defense, Mike linebacker, nice enough to spend a couple extra minutes with me and therefore with you explaining the run defense and what they were looking at, what they were seeing, kind of the expectation now moving forward. And I thought a really good breakdown of what happened in the Bears win, which key thing because everybody remembers the Hail Mary, but the fourth down stop against the Bears was set up by because Bobby Wagner is, you know, a great communicator, and also made a run play with his back turned at the snap to the play. I mean, he wasn't, the corner, Tyreek Stevenson, who is, by the way, benched at the start of this past yesterday's game in Arizona for what he did. It wasn't exactly that. He was actually working. He was communicating. So I think a really good spot there. All right, time for a quick trending alert. Then we'll come back with cleanup on aisle three. Stay tuned on the Team 980. Oh, we're heading down the home stretch of the radio showgram here on a Victory Motown Monday. You should always listen, baby. On a, again, Victory Motown Monday. You know what we do at this time of the day, don't you? Well, you should. You should, baby, because we get to everything that we haven't been able to get to. All right, so we'll start with the NBA here. Not, you know, again, not earth-shattering news by any means, but it is noteworthy news. The Wizards are hosting the Warriors tonight, as you may have heard. You can hear that on Bloomberg 99.1. Bloomberg 99.1 FM starting at 6:45. For whatever reason, the game is listed as a 7:15 start. I'm not sure what the deal is with that. The Warriors are 5-1. The Wizards off the bad loss in Mexico City at 2-3. Steph Curry is a game time decision. So we don't know at this point. I haven't seen any different report or whatever that he's definitively in or definitively out. He's just listed as a game time decision. But the other big news in the NBA is that Greg Popovich, the longtime championship head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, is out indefinitely with a health issue. And now Mitch Johnson is the interim head coach for an indefinite period of time, the way it's being labeled by ESPN, including tonight's game against the Clippers and Wednesday in Houston. Popovich, 75 years old, had a health situation, as it's being labeled, after a team win on Saturday night against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it's being listed as an undisclosed illness. He did not travel with the team for these two games. So maybe it'll just be these two games. We will see. We still have to kind of get through this period of time. Meanwhile, Paul George is going to make his debut for the Philadelphia 76ers tonight against the Phoenix Suns. So that's good. Meanwhile, Joel Embiid still hasn't played this year and got into a shoving match with Marcus Hayes of the Philadelphia Inquirer in the locker room the other night after a bad Sixers loss and after Hayes wrote a column basically mentioning Embiid's younger brother who passed away tragically in a car accident several years ago and his infant son who's named after his brother and kind of questioning his commitment to being in shape and so on and so forth. It was an obviously, nobody caught it on video, but it was an ugly scene according to most people that were there and certainly, quite honestly, unbecoming of a professional athlete. You just got to have, you know, better handle of your emotions. We've seen a bunch of this, right? I mean, James Franklin got into it with a fan the other day. The Penn State head coach, Trayvon Diggs got into it with a reporter outside the Cowboy locker room in San Francisco. We've just seen a bunch of this, guys that are, really angry and fired up, and they can't control their emotions. So that's not good, to say the least. All right. I listened to a bunch of the Georgia-Florida game on the way up from, Northern Virginia and through Baltimore and what have you to New Jersey, in Jacksonville on Saturday. And it was a pretty good game. Florida hung around there. They were on their third-string quarterback. You know, they're not that good to begin with. Georgia, obviously, had beaten Texas on the road in Austin a couple of weeks ago. I mean, Georgia, you know. You know, they always play this game in Jacksonville, kind of a neutral site, right? And each side gets their fans and all that. And it's called the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Well, needless to say, plenty of cocktails were being drunk. But here's what happened. If you haven't seen the video yet, and I wasn't sure if it was real, but it is. Jacksonville mayor and the sheriff in Jacksonville in Duval County are investigating what the hell happened. Online videos that show police officers just wailing away on fans. I mean, it was an ugly scene. The mayor said, quote, "I'm aware of several disturbing videos circulating from Saturday's game. We are awaiting the outcome of that investigation." So, again, they're reviewing the videos. If you've seen them, I've seen one or two of them. It is, you know, clearly a police struggle with fans. That triggers it. But police, according to the video that I've seen, are just, again, hauling punches at several fans. Now, before you go and jump to any conclusions. I have no idea if there's any race element to this or not. The bottom line is, you can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. Now, it's better than shooting innocent victims and fans, but you still can't be doing that. And I would just say this again. It kind of ruins what was or what sounded like a pretty decent football game. And again, it puts police brutality or police behavior front and center on the fingertips of what we are as a society. We should be more interested or just as interested in the maniacs on the road driving 90 miles an hour that don't get pulled over, that don't get ticketed, that don't get anything done to them, that almost take out left and right innocent people. We should be just as interested as that, but we never are. This certainly deserves an investigation. It certainly deserves suspension, firing, punishment, whatever it is, if it is determined that these police officers were not acting in self-defense, which the video I've seen does not show that. Again, I will wait for further judgment, but it was an ugly, ugly, ugly scene in Jacksonville where there was almost 76,000 there. You can't have that. You can't have that. One story we didn't get to from the NFL. Shane Waldron apparently will stay on as offensive coordinator and play caller for the Chicago Bears despite another Bears loss yesterday, 29-9 at Arizona after the loss here in Landover. Matt Eberflus, who I thought maybe could be in some trouble in terms of his job, said, quote, "We're looking to find answers, and that's what we're collectively as a group. We'll go through that process here today, tomorrow, and implement that plan on Wednesday." He's a first year with Chicago offensive coordinator, but he called plays for 3 years with Seattle. Now, listen, I don't watch the Bears every snap. The notion, as it's been presented by many, 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 many people, that Shane Waldron is a village idiot, that doesn't know what he's doing, that is clueless. He may not be good. He may not be good. But he did something right with Geno Smith in Seattle the last couple of years. And at times, the Chicago Bears have looked like a pretty good offense. Just saying, stop blaming the coaches for everything. Stop blaming the coaches for everything. And that is cleanup on aisle three. All right, coming up, boys and girls, children of all ages, we will get to Dum Dum of the Day. We'll wrap it up. Craig Hoffman is at Capital One Arena getting you set. He'll broadcast from there starting at 4 o'clock as the Golden State Warriors and potentially Steph Curry on the court are in town against the Washington Wizards. Again, you can hear that game coming up on Bloomberg 99.1 FM tonight because we will have Maryland and Manhattan after Craig's show, and then we'll join the Monday night football game right around halftime or so in progress after Maryland postgame wraps up as the college basketball season is underway tonight. I am so, so not ready for that. I need a break. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 3:52 right here on the Team 980. We're wrapping things up again. Craig Hoffman coming up from Capital One Arena. The Warriors are in town. Still don't know the exact status of Steph Curry, unless something's changed in the last couple of minutes that I have not seen. He was listed as a game-time decision, but he had been upgraded to questionable. So hopefully for basketball fans, he'll play. Hopefully for the Wizards, he'll find a way to skip another night. The game on, again, Bloomberg 99.1 FM tonight. Bloomberg 99.1 FM because we have Maryland, Manhattan basketball in College Park right after Craig. But again, Craig's show coming up from Capital One Arena, so please lend him your ear. Obviously, I have a ton of Commanders coverage, but also some Wiz Warriors stuff as well. But right now, before we say goodbye and make way for Mr. Hoffman, it is time. It's time for Dum Dum of the Day. We do it almost every day at this time. Just a way to have a little bit of a laugh or a shake of the head after all the serious sports nonsense that we have to cover. So why don't we do it here?
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
Oh, headline in the Associated Press. Instagram famous squirrel named Peanut was seized in a raid by New York State authorities. Yes, that's a real legitimate headline. A New York man who had rescued a squirrel named Peanut, who turned it into a social media star, apparently on Instagram. It must not have made it to my feed because Peanut is the squirrel, but apparently there was a raccoon named Fred as well that was seized by New York State authorities in this raid. So apparently they had multiple anonymous complaints about Peanut. And it's not spelled the traditional way. Apparently, P apostrophe nut or P nut, just all capital letters. Apparently, six at least state conservation officers appeared at Mark Longo's home near the Pennsylvania border last week. The DEC came to my house and raided my house without a search warrant to find a squirrel, the 34-year-old Longo said. I was treated as if I was a drug dealer, and they were going for drugs and guns. So apparently the officers left without Peanut the squirrel, who apparently has hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram, TikTok, and other platforms during his seven-year stay with Mr. Longo. They also took Fred, but not Peanut. Oh, I'm sorry. Peanut the squirrel and Fred the raccoon were both taken by authorities in the raid. A spokesman for the DEC said in the statement the agency had received multiple reports from the public about the potentially unsafe housing of wildlife that could carry rabies and the illegal keeping of wildlife as pets. So, again, just stay with me here. There is a very popular squirrel named Peanut. And there was Fred the raccoon. And now I'm also reading that Peanut might be dead. This story is all over the place. It just goes to tell you, don't do anything crazy. Don't do anything illegal. Don't do anything stupid. Have a cat. Have a dog. It's legal. Have an iguana. It's legal. Don't have a raccoon. Don't have a squirrel. Don't get raided. Because this is what happens. You screw up my radio show and you make me name you the Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Congratulations. You're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Apparently you can follow more on this story on Instagram. There's some disputed reports whether Peanut the squirrel has been euthanized or not. That's sad. I don't want that. But, you know, it's pretty simple. Don't house a squirrel and a raccoon. It's that simple. Craig Hoffman's coming up next on this Victory Monday. He will take you home. Thanks to JT the Vic. Good to be reunited with Mr. Ferreira on the other side of the glass. Again, Craig's at Capital One Arena. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock with the DOC. We may have some special guests stopping on by. And Chris Rodriguez will join us Wednesday at about 3:15 or so after he played an important role in the Commanders' win. That's all to come right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Adios.